Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Talk to somebody who's a humanist. They ask them how to determine what is right and wrong. They say, well, I just use my mind. And, you know, I just follow my emotions. You know, if I can get away with it and do it and nobody finds out, man, I'll just assert my will, right? What is the results of this? I don't know about you, but my moral compass is broken. I will confess that to you. And the compass of America is broken too. And we are in a catastrophic mess. You see the erosion of adopting portions of this kind of thinking that's taught in our colleges and universities and some high schools all across America. It has come down to us today, and we see the rationale of where we are in our culture, in our America. It comes right down to this.
The truth is, the moral fabric of society is eroding, but there is hope. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Family Values, with more proven truth from God's Word to help you build the kind of home that can change the world. So stay tuned. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Family Values, Part 2.
Rousseau came to the picture, and Rousseau said, you know, Kant is right. You don't look up to transcendent values from the Almighty or biblical values that are written down. He said, you don't look up. Man, that's old-fashioned. We are enlightened. But he said, don't really look to your mind to figure out what's right and wrong. He said, look to your heart, your passions. If it feels good, it must be okay. You heard that? It must be all right. Look to your heart. And Rousseau taught that a child was born, a baby was born with a pure heart, a beautiful heart, a clean heart. And parents and others that try to influence that child, corrupt that child, just let that child express themselves all the way through the years, all the way through, and just let them go the way they want to go, using their emotions and their feelings and their heart, and it will be a pure rose that will be formed, a beautiful life. That's what Rousseau taught. Modern education. Somebody said Rousseau didn't have any children. Oh, yeah, he had four. He had four by a peasant girl who was illiterate, and he systematically disinherited all four of them because of their lies. Follow your heart. Don't look up. Look within. Don't look at your mind, but look at your heart. Look at your feelings. And this is romanticism. Then a third guy came along. Friedrich Nietzsche came along. He said, I'll tell you here, the 17th century is not right. Then the 18th century, Nietzsche, he came along and pushed us to another area. He said, look to your will to decide what's right and wrong. And he talked about the Superman, or the German said the Overman, the Superman, the Superwoman. To decide what's right and wrong, you just assert yourself. You just show your muscles. That's how you decide. And might makes right. This was the philosophy of Adolf Hitler. He was a Nietzsche follower down to the core. And Hitler adopted the saying that you'll see on your screen of Nietzsche. Look at it. The strong have the right to rule any way they see fit. It is might makes right. And it is the doctrine of perfectionism. If you assert yourself, you decide what you want. If you're strong enough to get your way and to do it, that makes it all right. See, I didn't break any law. That's what the German criminals at Nuremberg said. I didn't break any German law. I just used the might of the Third Reich. So you have these three guys saying, hey, don't look up, look within, look at your mind, rationalism, look at your heart, romanticism, look at your will, perfectionism, the Superman, the Superwoman, and you decide. And you see, all of these philosophers, their seeds have been spread all the way through our culture. Talk to somebody who's a humanist. Talk to somebody who's away from God and away from the church. They ask them how to determine what is right and wrong. They say, well, I just use my mind. And, you know, I just follow my emotions. You know, if I can get away with it and do it and nobody finds out, man, I'll just assert my will, right? What is the results of this? I don't know about you, but my moral compass is broken. I will confess that to you. My moral compass is broken. I look to my mind. I look to my feelings. I look to my strength. All of that and decided ethics, what's right and wrong. My compass is broken. And ladies and gentlemen, your compass is broken too. And the compass of America is broken too. And we are in a catastrophic mess. You see the erosion of adopting portions of this kind of thinking that's taught in our colleges and universities and some high schools all across America. It has come down to us today, and we see the rationale of where we are in our culture, in our America. It comes right down to this, right down to this moment. It was a gradual thing, you know, erosion. It was gradual. And it went all the way, you know, we could see a little decline into the 1960s and 1970s. Some of us remember, have read about Haight-Ashbury, little section of outside of San Francisco, 1960s. The Summer of Love, remember it? The Summer of Love. Free drugs, free love, free food. Man, over 100,000 young people gathered there in Haight-Ashbury. Man, let the good times roll. It's party 24/7. Oh, that was it. And the music was the Beatles. Oh, the Beatles, oh man. And John Lennon became a superhero of the culture of love. But notice what his son wrote about John when he had left the family, his initial family, and had begun to live with his mistress, Ono. And look what his son wrote about him, Julian Lennon. He said, how can you talk about peace and love and have a family in bits and pieces, no communication, adultery, divorce? You can't do it. Not if you're being true and honest with yourself. He was a hypocrite. Dad could talk about peace and love out loud to the world, but he could not show it to the people who supposedly meant the most to him, his wife and son, Julian Lennon, who was abandoned by his father, John Lennon, when he was 5 years old. Be careful who we honor in the music world, in the political world, in the religious world, in the business world. Where are the heroes? Where are the heroines? Oh, it just continues to slide. Look at a study recently by UCLA, no citadel of conservatism. They surveyed teenagers from 1997 to 2007. In 1997, teenagers, and they surveyed thousands of them, incidentally. This was the order of values, priorities in their life: community feeling, benevolence, image, tradition, self-acceptance. 10 years later, look at our teenagers. What's their order? Fame, achievement, popularity, image, financial success. What happened in 10 years to our teenagers? YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, social media. All of a sudden, all the values of our kids were turned right side up because mom and dad basically were asleep. Because dad says, man, I want to be a corporate man, a company man. And he strives and he works and he neglects the wife and children and give them the leftover of their time. And then when he reaches some kind of area of success in his chosen field when he's 40 or 50, he looks back and said, oh, I would give everything I have if I could go back and have time with my kids and not neglect them as I did. We don't need more company men. We need more family men. And let's just bring this up to speed so we'll understand where we are in America today. As we now no longer look up, we look within. Oh, I'll think it through. I'll feel it through. I'll power my way through. The Boston Marathon bombing. By the way, we have a wonderful member of our church who was one of the tragedies there. Her son was slightly injured. She was at the finish line. She, only 3 days ago, they took her in, I think for the third time, anticipating amputating her leg from the knee down. She's a member of this campus, and her parents are members of this campus right here. She was right there in Boston watching a friend run. But we prayed, and my last report 2 days ago, somehow the doctors got in there for the third or fourth time, and they thought they would this time take the leg off from somewhere below the knee, but thank God the infection was healed. And we'll be hearing from her and the story there of God working in her mother and dad who are part of this church and her life and her daughter, et cetera. We'll hear from them in days to come. Parenthetically, in the Boston situation, I'm just amazed at the super ignorance of our law enforcement people. Let me tell you something. If I were in charge, I would do something immediately. I would pass laws that any time we have a terrorist who has a radical faith that he has demonstrated, I would immediately send every member of his family who are in America back where they came from, whether they were citizens or not. I would take every person who has associated with him or is a part of that radical belief, regardless of what they said, and I would also send them home packing. You see what has happened in this radical kind of so-called religion. What has happened is when a terrorist bombs and destroys people here, they reward their family abroad for their courage and for their belief and for their faith. We somehow have to return some fire. What this will do? You say, what will that do? No, it will do one thing. Hopefully that the families of those who are here who see a member of the family being radicalized will say, hey, son, you had better straighten up. It's going to affect every single one of us. I think that might be a little bitty deterrent that we could put in practice. That's parenthetical. What is going on? Jodi Arias, look at her, convicted of brutally murdering her boyfriend. She just stabbed him 27 times and virtually cut off his head and shot him for good measure. What kind of thing is that? 8-year-old Leah Fowler was fatally shot by her 12-year-old brother. 19 people shot by a teenager. Mother's Day parade in New Orleans. Convicted cop killer Jeffrey Williams executed. Dallas area Bank of America robbed twice by two brothers. You want more? Let's bring it right up to speed. Look at it. Sunday, May the 11th, a man was shot outside a Washateria on West Road. Monday, May 13th, right of the date, a Houston Alief boy comes home from school to find all three family members shot in his home. Thursday, May 16th, man found shot to death outside a Houston hotel. Thursday, May 16th, three men robbed a man as he unloaded groceries in the driveway in Sugarland. Thursday, May 16th, a Houston teenage girl was charged with murder of a man she doused with gasoline and burned alive. And I wanted to go through some of this. And I hope you'd say, stop. Hey, I've got enough. I get it. Hold back. I can't take anymore. You see, we don't listen much to this news. It just overwhelms us. It's too big for us. We can't put our arms around it. We have no understanding of it. And I wanted to go down and down and down and down, and I could do it all afternoon. You know I could, one after another, to finally we'd say, enough, enough. I didn't even have to get into the area that was not reported of the little 6-year-old girl who was taken by some little older boys, 5, 6, and 7, and held in a garage for 2 hours and molested, and her daddy says, I hate this. I hate those kids. I hate their parents. I hate this. What have they done to my little girl? And those kind of things are not reported. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I will be saved. Let me introduce you to two fathers. Some of you know them. Let's look at them at a different light than maybe you have ever seen them before. First Samuel, we have a father by the name of Eli. Eli was a prophet, was a priest. He's an old man. He has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And someone came to Eli in this passage and says, Eli, your sons are sleeping with women in the house of worship. Somebody had to tell Eli that. These sons are grown men. Eli goes to his sons, and look what this says in verse 25. Led apart, but they would not listen to the voice of their father. His old man didn't know the condition of his own sons. He'd been so busy doing good, fine, wonderful things in his calling, in his vocation, and now he spoke to them, and they did not listen to the words of their father. Is it any wonder? I introduce you to another father in Scripture. Man by the name of Mordecai. He was a stepfather, incidentally. And Esther, his stepdaughter, whom he nurtured and loved and modeled and taught the ways of God, she is now queen of the land. Beautiful, wonderful, reigning queen of the land. And now she has a chance to do something for God and for God's people. And Mordecai went to her. And look at the latter part of Esther chapter number 2, verse number 20. For Esther did what Mordecai bid her as she had done when under his care. Esther listened to Mordecai, though she was a grown woman in a high position. Eli, sons didn't pay any attention to him. He hadn't built the right stuff in those boys. He turned his back on them. He must have looked within and let them look within and determine their own destiny. Mordecai had built the right stuff in Esther, and Mordecai gave counsel, and she listened to Mordecai just like she had when she was brought up in that home. As a stepfather, he disciplined her and loved her. What a difference. What a difference. Now, I want to show you something that I didn't pick up on until Saturday, yesterday. Look back at our scripture. This will stagger you. Our scripture, Jeremiah chapter 17, look at verse 20. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. He's already said the heart is deceitful, deceptively wicked. Who can know it? We agree with that. Your heart, my heart. Then he says, I search the heart. The heart. I mean, people who make decisions with their heart and their feelings. Jeremiah is talking about the same thing that, we've already looked at him. That's what Rousseau was talking about, wasn't it? You get your morals and your ethics by your heart. Jeremiah predated Rousseau. Look at the next verse. I test the mind, says the Lord. It seems like Jeremiah has predated Kant, who said the way you get your ethics is look at your mind, rationalism. He'd already anticipated that. And look at the rest of the verse. It says, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Well, that sounds like Nietzsche. I just assert myself. I decide what is right by my own power. Isn't it something? Right there in our verse, God has already dealt with the rationalism, the romanticism, and with the absolutely demonic idea of asserting your own life and living it out your own way. He's already dealt with it in our scripture. And look at the answer. Now the verse comes alive that we read in our scripture. Look what he says. Verse 13. All who forsake you will be put to shame. All who look within and do not look up will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down. Now you get it. Because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. And then we have the climactic verse, and it is, heal me, O Lord, that I might be healed. Save me, O Lord, that I might be saved. Pray it again. Look up. Heal me, O Lord, that I might be healed. Save me, O Lord, that I might be saved. Our Heavenly Father, this is our prayer for America. This is our prayer for our lives. This is our prayer for our homes. This is our prayer for our families. Forgive us when we have been gobbled up and swallowed whole in a broken culture.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares the secret to a healthy family.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255-9255-350. 350-9255.